Open your Bibles with me, please, if you would, to the book of Psalms, the 100th Psalm. No better selection of chapters in the Word of God could we use than this Psalm for Thanksgiving Sunday. Psalm 100. It's a short chapter of only 5 verses. But how powerful these verses are. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. So those of you who think you cannot sing, whenever we have our congregational singing, and we're worshiping the Lord in song, you may not be able to carry a tune as well as somebody else. You may not have the voice quality in singing as somebody else. That doesn't matter. Every one of us can make a joyful noise to the Lord. And when the Lord hears our singing, the person next to us may think it's off key. And maybe it is off key. But the Lord loves to hear you sing his praises. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness, not with grumbling and complaining and griping and moaning and groaning. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. No such thing as a self-made man. Right. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. What a great psalm. Thanksgiving is the heart of a true Christian. And I also add, thanksgiving is the heart of a true American. America was built upon the spirit of thanksgiving to God. The very first Thanksgiving proclamation occurred on June 20, 1676. And by the way, this document is in the Freedom Documents that we are now shipping and distributing, the great documents of our nation's history. We included the first Thanksgiving proclamation in the Freedom Documents. On June 20, 1676, the Governing Council of Charlestown, Massachusetts, held a meeting to determine how best to express thanks for the good fortune that had seen their community securely established. By unanimous vote of the Governing Council of Charlestown, Massachusetts, they instructed Edward Rawson, the clerk, to proclaim June 29 as a day of thanksgiving, America's first. Here is that proclamation of 1676, Charlestown, Massachusetts. The council has thought meet to appoint and set apart the 29th day of this instant June as a day of solemn thanksgiving and praise to God for such his goodness and favor, many particulars of which mercy might be instanced. But we doubt not those are sensible to God's afflictions, have been as diligent to espy him returning to us. they talked so much better English than we talk. Our English is so superior to pure English, it's really pathetic. When it's so bad that when we read these great documents of old, many Americans go, oh, what language is that? It just shows how dumbed down America has become. When you say, we're learning English, no, you're not learning English today. You're learning slang English. But anyway, this is real, real English. And that the Lord may behold us as a people offering praise and thereby glorifying him. The council doth commend to the respective ministers, elders, and people of this jurisdiction, solemnly and seriously, to keep the same beseeching, that being persuaded by the mercies of God, we may all, even this whole people, offer up our bodies and souls as a living and acceptable service unto God by Jesus Christ. Amen. America's first Thanksgiving proclamation. Of course, we're familiar with the story of the Pilgrims' Thanksgiving in 1621, as recorded by Governor William Bradford and Edward Winslow. The first Thanksgiving proclamation issued by the Revolutionary Continental Congress was on November 1st, 1777, and authored by Samuel Adams. Listen to the Thanksgiving proclamation of the Continental Congress in 1777, written by Sam Adams. For as much as it is the indispensable duty of all men to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God, to acknowledge with gratitude their obligation to him for benefits received, together with penitent confession of their sins, whereby they had forfeited every favor, and their humble and earnest supplications, that it may please God through the merits of Jesus Christ, mercifully to forgive and blot them out, our sins of remembrance. It is therefore recommended to set apart Thursday, the 18th day of December next, for solemn thanksgiving and praise, that with one heart and one voice, the good people may express the grateful feeling of their hearts and consecrate themselves to the service of their divine benefactor, acknowledging with gratitude their obligations to him for benefits received, to prosper the means of religion for the promotion and enlargement of that kingdom which consisteth in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Sam Adams, Declaration of Thanksgiving, Continental Congress, 1777. You didn't learn that at school, did you? Soon after adopting the Bill of Rights, a motion in Congress to initiate the proclamation of a national day of thanksgiving was approved. Upon completion of the Bill of Rights, Congress issued a proclamation of a national day of thanksgiving be enacted. The resolution was delivered to President George Washington, who readily agreed with its suggestion and put forth the following proclamation by his signature. And here is what George Washington wrote in response to the request of the Continental Congress in this year of 1789. It's titled A National Thanksgiving. Here's the words of Washington. Where it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity to peaceably establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Remember, this is after we had won the War of Independence, after our Constitution and then our Bill of Rights had been written. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. That we may then all unite in rendering unto him, capital H, our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we've been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general, for all the great and various favors which he, again, capital H, has been pleased to confer upon us. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October, A.D. 1789, George Washington. The spirit of thanksgiving is the spirit of America from its very conception. The spirit of thanksgiving is also the heart of all true believers. Returning to the book of Psalms, chapter 107, verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And by the way, that same statement that I just read occurs 7, 8, or 9 times in the book of Psalms. The exact same phrase is used over and over and over in the book of Psalms. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Thank God for his everlasting mercy. Now, let me delineate this. Everlasting mercy is reserved for God's saints. Those who come to Christ by faith are given everlasting life. Therefore, they have everlasting mercy. All true men and women of God, not the pretenders, not the ones who are trying to work their way to heaven, not the ones who think that they're too good to need forgiveness, like Mr. Trump. "I've never done anything I need to be forgiven for." That's what he told us publicly. All who have come to Christ by faith, humbled themselves before God, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to wash away their sins as only he can do, that we can do nothing of ourselves, have everlasting mercy. Nations and unredeemed men have been extended more mercy than they deserve, but temporal mercy nonetheless. Marjorie Taylor Greene's resignation from Congress, after Trump called her a traitor, which resulted in numerous death threats against her and her family, no doubt including from so-called Christians. I know the threats that my wife and my family and I have received from so-called Christians. Death threats from people who say they are Christians. But why should we be surprised? These are the same ones that are cheering the genocidal murders of hundreds of thousands of people over in the Middle East. Why should it surprise us that they would threaten people like Marjorie Taylor Greene or a preacher who teaches the truth of Christ's new covenant? These people are not Christians. They are filled with devilish hate. They are phonies. Amen. She received innumerable death threats from Trump's MAGA robots. This is why she resigned. She did not want to put her family through the potential lack of safety and potential harm that could happen to them if she were to resume her re-election campaign, going up against a bunch of radical right-wing nut jobs who would gladly kill a congresswoman because she doesn't agree with Donald Trump's bombing of innocent men, women, and children in Gaza, and she insisted on releasing the Epstein files against the wishes of the president. By the way, I guarantee you, you can take this to the bank. The files that the public is going to see is going to be washed clean of all incriminating evidence against Mr. Trump and others of power and position. I guarantee you that Bondi and Patel have already gone through those files after the vote in the Congress to release them. They gave them 30 days. To release the files. No, that's not 30 days to release the files. Well, they could have released them on the next day. But 30 days to release the files. No, 30 days to give Bondi and the FBI director a chance to redact all of the things that they don't want the public to see. That's what happened. Ms. Taylor Greene is not a traitor. She is a patriot. It is U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, who had the audacity to host one of the most notorious spies in American history, Jonathan Pollard, in the U.S. Embassy in Israel. Can you imagine that? Pollard was an Israeli spy in our U.S. Naval Intelligence, who sent tens of thousands of top secret, not just classified, top secret nuclear documents to Israel that Israel used to build its still undeclared nuclear missile systems. Israel also forwarded those top secret documents to the former Soviet Union and other nations hostile to the United States. Pollard was sentenced to life in prison. and was released from U.S. jurisdiction by Donald Trump in his first term, after which Pollard immediately returned to Israel to a hero's welcome. And he's still regarded as a national hero in the state of Israel. He was a traitor and a spy in the United States. And Mike Huckabee, the ambassador of the United States to Israel, hosted this traitorous spy at the U.S. Embassy in Israel. Miss Taylor Greene is not the traitor. Mike Huckabee is a traitor to the United States of America. And if Donald Trump had any character, which he doesn't, and if he cared anything about the United States, which he doesn't, he would have already fired Mr. Huckabee. But he's still the ambassador to the United States, and the White House is standing beside him. Why? Because Donald Trump is bought off by the same Israeli lobby that Mike Huckabee is bought off by. That's why. So not only is Mike Huckabee a traitor, so is every politician in America who is bought off by the Israeli lobby, including Donald Trump. They're all traitors. Yeah. And by his support of Israel's genocide in Gaza and his extrajudicial killings, that's what they call it. The shyster lawyers, there's other terms you can use for lawyers. That's what they call it. The Justice Department attorneys, extrajudicial killings. There's no such thing as extrajudicial killings. If it's extrajudicial killing, it's murder.
Amen.
By his support for Israel genocide in Gaza and its extrajudicial killings of people off the Venezuela coast, over 80 dead so far. Trump brags about every one of them. Trump is also an international war criminal and mass murderer.
Amen.
To show you how much of a war crime Trump is committing by killing these people in both... Rubio came out a couple of days ago real angry with the press and said, one of them said, how do you know these are narco-terrorists? I think that's a legitimate question. He said very angrily in the press conference, "You, how dare you ask me? I'm the Secretary of State. I know what's going on. I say it's okay to kill these people because I know it's okay to kill these people." I'm paraphrasing. You can just take my word for it, okay? I know who these people are. I know it's okay to kill these people. And I'm killing them. And we're going to keep killing them. And it's okay. It's legal because I say it's legal. And because I know it's legal. I'm sorry. That's not the way the Constitution has it written. Where's the proof? Where's the charge? Where is the trial? Where is the evidence? Where is the court of law? Where is the rule of law? Where is due process? A president does not have a right to unilaterally kill people at will. I'm sorry, that's murder. And if Mr. Trump does not account for it here in this life, you can mark it down, Mr. Trump. You will account for it when you see God one day. You will account for every killing you have committed. And if he attacks Venezuela, Without a declaration of war from Congress, Trump should be impeached, Amen. Convicted, and removed from office. Yes, all that was free. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Amen. Back to the book of Psalms, chapter 26, verse 7. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Publish. Tell. We need to publish and vocalize our thanksgiving. It's not enough to feel thankful in our heart. We need to vocalize and express to others the thanksgiving to God that we feel in our hearts. When you are lauded and praised, be sure to remind the people that are praising you that it is not you, it is God which worketh in you to do of his good pleasure. The praise doesn't go to us. It goes to the Lord Jesus Christ, who without him we could do nothing. Compare that spirit of thanksgiving with the almost ubiquitous spirit of entitlement so prevalent in today's society. People feel they're entitled to everything. It's how do we recover from this? When you have a generation of people where about half of the people in the country believe that the rest of the other half of the people in the country owe them everything. The other people that are working, the other people that are earning the income, the other people that are paying the taxes, the other people that are the ones that are giving the means by which the government has anything, which, by the way, we don't, because we're $30 trillion in debt anyway, so it's all printed paper. But the concept that people who don't work and who don't earn feel entitled, that the people who do work and do earn owe them some of their earnings. You owe it to me. I deserve it. Whenever the scale reaches the point when more people are living off the other people that are working than are working, that economy will, not if, it will collapse. And the people that are sucking everything they can from the taxpayers because they feel entitled, and there's no guilt or shame to it, none at all. They're owed it. Thanksgiving comes from a heart of understanding and humility, which recognizes that we are owed nothing by God or by anyone else. That when people do things for us, it is out of their good nature, out of their compassion, out of a heart of giving. Not because somebody puts a gun to their head and says, you will release this much money that you have earned or else. It's a free will gesture of love. Just as God, in love, offered his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior and Redeemer. We didn't deserve it. There's nothing we could do to merit it. There's nothing we could do to convince God that we are worthy of what Jesus did on the cross for us. God did it out of a heart of love for sinful men whom he knew could do nothing to save themselves. But out of his love for his sinful creation, he sent his son to die for our sins. That's thanksgiving. Thanksgiving does not say, I deserve it. I'm entitled to it. No, that's not thanksgiving. That's pride. Amen. Arrogance. Selfishness. Being willing to impose the will of force against your neighbors in order that you might grab everything you can from them. That's not thanksgiving. That's arrogance, pride, rebellion against God, sin against our fellow man, putting an undue burden on those who are working two or three jobs just so other people can stay home and do nothing and collect their benefits from the taxpayers when they could be. I'm not talking about the genuine people that are unable to work and definitely need some kind of social assistance. I'm not talking about them. We've got a lot of freeloaders in America today who could work just as the rest of us work and could earn just as the rest of us earn, but are too lazy and cheatful and are willing to allow others to give them what they themselves are not willing to work for. There's a word for that, and it's called stealing. Extortion would also fit. No, the thankful heart. Thank you, Lord, for the ability, the privilege of being able to earn a living. Thank you, Lord, for the health. Thank you, Lord, for the mind. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of being able to earn a living. Oh, you may not be living like, what's that billionaire guy? No, I was talking, who I was thinking of. The guy who's in the White House with Trump. Elon Musk. You may not live like Elon Musk. Be glad you don't. Because I guarantee you, you do not get to be a billionaire without doing a lot of crooked, dishonest things to make it to that level. There's a lot of cheating, a lot of lying, a lot of backstabbing, a lot of stepping on people. A lot of things. We have so many billionaires today that are controlling the country that the voice of the American people is no longer heard by the politicians in Washington, D.C. They don't hear what we say. They only hear from the people that give them the millions and hundreds of millions of dollars. That's the ones that they're obeying. That's the work that they're doing. So thank, you know, what's the old song? Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Hey, do you believe in heaven? Yes. Three of you do. Do you believe in heaven?
Yes.
All right, look, this world is not our home. This world is so briefly lived. Those of you that are under 40, you think you've got forever to live. Those of us that are 70 and above, we know how fast our life has gone. We just turned around a couple of times, and it's almost over. And we say to ourselves, where did it go? And whenever we were 20 and 30, we thought we had forever. We thought, oh man, we're going to live and live and live and live. There's some people don't even live to see 30. Some don't live to see 20. We know that. But in the average lifespan, 20 and 30 years old, oh, that's nothing. You have forever to live. No, listen to me. I know you can't appreciate it. I was told this by my mom and dad. I didn't believe them. I didn't appreciate it. But I'm telling you, your life is going so fast, you can't believe it. You don't realize how fast you are going through this world. All these billionaires, so what? Amen. What if they live to be 90? What is 90 years compared to eternity? What is it? Your life is like a vapor, thank you, that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away, according to the book of James. We are going to live forever in the glorious kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. The riches of heaven are ours. The glories of heaven are ours. The rewards of heaven are ours. You can pick all the billionaires put together, put all their wealth together, and it wouldn't even pave the streets of gold in the heavenly city. Do not be envious of the rich. Because the richer one is, the more evil he tends to be. James tells us this as well. Go to now, ye rich men. The rich are the ones that are persecuting the people. The rich are the ones that are trying to establish monarchical, dictatorial government. Right now, the billionaire class in the technocratic world are preparing to put us all under an AI dictatorship. It's already planned. Musk is a part of that. Peter Thiel's a part of that. Alex Karp is a part of that. All these guys are already plotting together to put together this privatized governmental system run by AI, in which everyone will not need a job. No one will have a job. Your labor will not be necessary. You will be given a universal, well, they got a name for it, a universal paycheck, a universal welfare paycheck from the state. Everyone will have the exact same pay, except the billionaires. They won't give up their billions. But everyone else will have a universal pay system. Your work will not be necessary. It's all going to be done by AI. And when you hear Elon Musk say, this is how we're going to take the world out of poverty, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about giving everybody on the planet, including the poor people in Africa, or India, or other places, that are barely scratching by, they'll all have the same pay that everybody else will have, the same pay that we'll have. The whole world will have the same pay. And their labor will not be needed. AI is going to do it all for us. And oh, by the way, you won't have any freedom either.
That's right. Yep.
AI is going to be spying on your every move. Watching you when you go to bed, watching you when you get up, watching you when you take a bath, watching you when you go out the door, watching when you walk down the street, watching when you're in the car, if you have a car, watching wherever you go, wherever you do. That's the world envisioned by the billionaire class. I didn't mean to get on all this. What's happening in Gaza with this 21-point plan approved by the UN and by the Arab Gulf states? The Arab Gulf monarchies are part of this billionaire class I'm talking about. And they're all in it, just as much as the Western billionaires are in it. They're all in it together. Gaza is going to be the proving grounds for this AI-controlled global technocracy that they have planned for the world. They're going to test it in Gaza. The Gazans that refuse to go along with it will all be killed. The Gazans who choose not to die are going to be put into these AI-controlled concentration camps. Everything, and the rest of Gaza is going to be turned into the Las Vegas on the sea, the Riviera on the Mediterranean, with a big golden statue of Donald Trump smack dab in the middle of it, and condos and resorts and hotels, so the billionaire class around the world can come and play on the banks of the beautiful Mediterranean Sea. And the Gazans who chose not to die, they will be the servants for the billionaire class. And all the others, they will be put in these sections. They're concentration camps is all they are. But they're going to be controlled by AI. It's the prototype for what they want to use against the world. You watch and see. I'm telling you, this is what's coming. And this is what this 21-point plan. Trump's plan. That's what it was all about. It really wasn't Trump's plan. It was Witkoff's and Kushner's plan. The two real estate moguls. People don't realize how many billions of dollars the Trump family personally has gained since Donald Trump became president. How many billions of dollars the Kushners have gained since Trump became president. How many billions of dollars Witkoff has gained since Trump became president. These super rich people around Trump and the Trump himself are using their positions in government as a cover for their own personal deal-making and enrichment. It violates every spirit of the Constitution and the letter of the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution that says that people in public office are not allowed to benefit personally from others who would use graft and bribes and so forth in order to gain positions of power. That's not worded that way, but that's the idea of it. You can't use your position in public office to enrich yourself through graft. But Donald Trump has been doing that since day number one.
Yes.
His entire family.
Yes.
Think about it. I thought it was the Secretary of State's job to negotiate on behalf of the American people to the governments of the world. Now I know we got a rotten, sorry, crummy Secretary of State. That's not the point. The point is, it is the Secretary of State's job to negotiate on behalf of the people of the United States with the other governments of the world. Here we've got a government where that Rubio hardly ever negotiates with the other nations of the world. It's Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner that are doing all the negotiating with the other governments of the world. They're not even elected people. They're not even appointed to position of governmental position. They're part of the Trump family cabal. And they're negotiating on behalf of the people of the United States, and they're getting richer in the process. I'm sorry. It's just disgusting. I'm sorry. It's just the spirit of Thanksgiving does not allow that kind of criminality to take place. The spirit of Thanksgiving is a humility of heart that understands that God is our source and that God has given us the ability to earn a living and to make a living. And through that, we are to honor him and give him the first fruits as a gift of thanksgiving in return for God's gift to us. Thanksgiving was the heart of America for at least 150 years. Psalm 50, verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. In other words, do what you know is your duty to God. If you have a thankful heart, nobody will have to tell you to do your duty. You know what your duty is. The Holy Spirit will make sure of that. A thankful heart does its duty. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 95:2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Psalm 147:7, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto the Lord our God. Larry, don't they call their harmonica the mouth harp? So last Sunday when he was playing on the harmonica, he was fulfilling this. He was singing praise upon the harp unto God. Amen? And Brett's doing the same thing with the trumpet. And whenever we sing in the service previous to the preaching, we should all sing to the top of our voice as best as we can in praise and thanksgiving of our soul to God. And if we are truly thankful, we can't help but do that. Express your thanksgiving in song. When you come into God's presence, do so with thanksgiving. Psalm 107, verse 22, the last one. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. The Israelites brought animal sacrifices to God. And they want to do it again. And Christians want them to do it again. Christian Zionists. Oh, the red heifer is ready. The temple is ready to be built. We're waiting for Messiah to come. We're going to offer animal sacrifices again. And the Christians are going, praise the Lord! Red heifer, praise Jesus! New temple, praise God! The Messiah already came. Amen. The sacrifice was already paid. Amen. Any other attempt at sacrificing life, be it an animal or otherwise, to God is sacrilege, a mockery of Christ, and blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. What the Israelites did in the Old Covenant was simply a shadow of what was to come. It was a sign. It was a symbol of that sacrifice which was to come. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 through 12, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Amen.
And every priest, Old Covenant, standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Our sacrifice is the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself once for sin, once forever. He died on a cross in penalty of our sin. He suffered our hell and grave. He was risen from the dead for our justification. Our resurrection is only due to the fact that Jesus rose before us. Seated at the Heavenly Father, we talked about that a couple messages ago, making intercession for us. That is the sacrifice. David talked about the sacrifices of thanksgiving, meaning the Old Testament animal sacrifices. We don't have sacrifices, plural. We have one sacrifice, Jesus Christ, Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, taking our sins upon himself. Have you, in a spirit of humility, acknowledging your sin before God, acknowledging that there is nothing you can do in yourself to merit salvation, and with a thankful, humble heart, recognizing that Jesus took your place on the cross, Jesus died for your sins on the cross, and by faith receiving him as your Savior, trusting what he did on the cross for you, for your salvation, believing that his singular sacrifice on Calvary did everything to redeem us unto God. If you have, then I know that you have in your heart the spirit of thanksgiving, because you never forget. I am saved by the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. That's the heart of every Christian. And it was the heart of America until recent years. Would to God that all of America could once again bring themselves to the spirit of thanksgiving under God for all he has done for this country. Let's stand for prayer.